And tonight, of course, is the young adult study over at Philip and Heather's house. I know that that's been a fun and time for my family and a blessed time for some of the people that I've gotten feedback with. So if you haven't gone, we hope you will and invite some friends. It seems like that's been a great time. The thing I want to really prioritize this morning is talk a little bit about those construction sheets on the back table. So for those who aren't aware, with our building project, as we were putting it together, we're stepping out in faith a little bit. Because after all the cuts we made, we're still about $120,000 behind what we think we can budget. And of course, we're stepping out in faith with that, and we can get $54,000 of that back with volunteering. So we can significantly help with just not only the mission of the church with serving one another and loving one another, but also with a very pragmatic, like, hey, if we do the roofing, that's $5,000 that we save. If we do the siding, that's $10,000 that we save. And so that's one of the reasons we have the volunteer sheets back there, is so that we can kind of make up some of that difference. Because I don't know about you, but I don't have the ability to give $10,000 in 2 weeks. But if I give my time, it has the same effect. One of the things that's really important, though, is a month before the date's up there, I have to make a decision, and this is where it's like sometimes heavy is the head that wears the crown. I have to make the decision, do we say no volunteers, or do I make the decision, say no volunteers, meaning we have to get a subcontractor real fast, or can we do it with our volunteers? So please sign up early. Please look at your schedule, and if you can make things work, we would really appreciate that. The other two things I am going to bring up briefly is that Molly's baby shower is after church today at the church home. You can see there's already some gifts on the back table, but after church in the church home. I know some of the guys were thinking of maybe playing football, but I don't know if weather's going to cooperate today, so we'll see. Next week, we're not going to be playing football, though, because we're going to be having the shooting event over at the groom's house. So this is an annual thing that we do as a church. We usually have a picnic, and there's all kinds of stuff set up. The grooms do an amazing job in their pasture to have a bunch of different options. Rhonda or Dave, is there anything that we should bring up regarding that? People need to bring chairs? Okay. Yeah, bring chairs and a picnic lunch, but that's always a great time for people in our church. And with that, I am going to turn it over for the missionary moment.
Good morning, church. Today's missionary moment is from the Wilds, and they are recently doing a campaign for Beyond the Reef. If you recall, some of you who've been here, you know that the Wilds are a mission family that we support through prayer. Their connection to our church is that Jeff Nettles, who founded our church, was a youth pastor for Mike Wild back in Florida. And Mike Wild was a surfer punk kid who then grew up to become a Christian and has then gone on to be a missionary and was with Ethnos 360, the New Tribes Missions, and has now started their own mission organization called Beyond the Reef. And so they're just freshly starting this new mission organization, Beyond the Reef, and they're needing some funding for a boat, and I'll let this video explain, and then we'll take a moment and pray for them.
Thank you. Set up this region. Like I said at the beginning of this video, this is really a huge step for Libby and I. As in almost 20 years of ministry among unreached people, we've never campaigned for anything like this before. And on top of that, right now with the coronavirus pandemic, it's definitely uncertain times. But one thing we see consistently from God's word, one thing we know to be true, is that He has a heart for the nations of the gospel. And then also He moves His people in His perfect time to reach those goals. Everything was clear. But if you do have any questions or want additional information, please call us or email us anytime. We're always available to talk. God bless you all, and thank you so much for considering working together with us in this project.
So in just a second, we're going to pray for them. And that's one thing we all can do to support this ministry, Beyond the Reef. If you feel led to donate to Beyond the Reef, go to beyondthereef, I think it's .com. And if that doesn't work, let me know. I have the links I can share with you. And they'll have other updates about what they're doing. They also have a YouTube. Their sons have a YouTube channel. The Wild Way is their new YouTube channel. They have an older YouTube vlog that they were doing as well. They've got some really cool things that they've, some videos they've put together. But either way, one last piece of information here. They recently got, they just started this campaign, but they recently got a $1,000 donation matching. So that means, $100,000. So that means if they got all that match, they would have $200,000. They only would need $20,000 more to then buy the boat, which would be pretty awesome. So let's pray, and if possible, give. Let's do that now. Jesus, thank you for saving us. Lord, thank you for saving the people in Papua New Guinea the Wilds have worked with already, the Wano people. God, I pray that you would continue to work among the Wano people so that they might go out and share the gospel with other lost tribes around them. Lord, I pray that you would help the Wilds as they continue to seek other lost tribes, people who've never heard the gospel. Lord, may you be preparing these people's hearts now so that when they hear the word, the good news, that they would give in to your Holy Spirit and would make you Lord of their life and Savior. Lord, I pray even now that we would do the same for our neighbors, that we would seek the lost people in our neighborhood, in our city, in our schools, and we would share the gospel with them. May you prepare their hearts and may you prepare our words, and may people respond for your glory. We pray for this financial campaign for Beyond the Reef. We pray that it would go well. We thank you for how it is going well, but may you continue to bring in the funds. And we pray all this for your glory. Amen. All right. I believe I'm also up next. We're going to read the Bible together. And so feel free to get your Bibles out. We're going to be reading from John chapter 15, verses 18 through 25. So again, we're going to be reading together God's Word. So feel free to stand up, because it is God's Word. We want to show respect to God's Word by standing for it. And so, again, we're going to read from John chapter 15, verse 18 through to 25. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. This ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Following the resurrection of Jesus, we read in Acts an example of how the church should be. From Acts 1:14, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. As members of that same universal church spoken of in Acts, we want to be devoted to prayer and being together in honor of the risen King. Let's take some moments to pray together. Lord, at this time, we close our eyes and take a few slow, deep breaths. We acknowledge your holy presence among us this morning. Because Christ, we have confidence in his promises and in his victory, so that we can trust with him with all our worries, concerns, and anxieties. We give those things that stand as a divide between us, we give those distractions to you, Lord, at this time, so we can focus on you. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This is your commandment to all peoples for all time, repeated for us by our Lord Jesus. We want to examine our devotion to you, Lord. Honestly assess your relationship with God and with the people in your life at this time. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5 says, Ephesians 4:32 says, Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Give thanks to God now for his forgiveness, that we no longer are enslaved to sin, shame, and guilt. our risen Lord said to his followers in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth." As his witness, we are to go in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are to pray, to serve, to obey, and to love. Ask God to use you to reach the lost in your life. God hears our prayers. In Psalm 4:3, we read, "Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. The God who cared enough to come to this earth and to die for us also cares enough to hear our prayers." So as one by this morning, we raise up the prayers of his church. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Great is your name in all the land. And great are you to bring about your will. We ask that your desires would be our desires, and that we would be used by you to change the lives and thus change the world for your glory. Amen.
Well, good morning again. Hey, thank you. In the year 1569, a man named Dirk Willems was arrested in the Netherlands. His crime? Baptizing new believers in Jesus Christ. He was thrown into prison and sentenced to death by the Roman Catholic authorities. But over a period of weeks, he was able to collect old rags, and he knotted those rags together until eventually he had a rope. Then using this rope, he climbed out of his prison onto a frozen moat, because now it was winter time, and ran away. Unfortunately for Willems, a guard noticed his escape and gave chase. Willems ran to a frozen pond, and he was able to get across it because he had lost a lot of weight due to subsisting on the prison rations. However, the pursuing guard broke through the ice in the middle of the pond. The guard yelled for help as he struggled in the icy water. What would you do in that situation? What would you do if your persecutor was drowning in icy water and you were the only person there? Is this God's gift of protection? Or is this God asking you, do you really love your enemies? Well, Willems believed that the Bible says we are to love our enemies, and so he turned back and he actually saved the guard's life. Kids, what do you think the guard did after that? If you had to guess, what do you think the guard did after Willems saved his life from drowning? Here's what happened. He arrested Willems, brought him back to prison, and he was supposed to be burned at the stake on May 16th, 1569, but unfortunately, it was a cold and wet day, and as they tried to burn him at the stake, they couldn't get the fire hot enough. And so, finally, out of pity for the burned man, another guard killed him. For some reason, the world really hates true Christians, usually without cause. What did Willems do to deserve that? Even in secular societies today, it seems like you can be anything you want, just as long as it's not a believer in Jesus Christ. Our passage today that Philip just read, John 15, 18 through 25, is a wake-up call to anyone who claims they're a follower of Jesus. You know, in our passages the past few weeks, we've heard so much about love, loving Jesus, loving each other, showing our love to the world. But Jesus gives us a hard truth today. He gives us a hard truth today. Loving Jesus and loving one another is important because everybody else is going to hate you. Everybody else is going to hate you. You know, the Bible promises Christians some level of persecution in life. And again, this is a hard truth. But becoming a follower of Jesus is both the beginning of eternal life, but also the beginning of trouble in this world. In general, we Americans don't like this truth. We ignore it, don't we? We like the good parts of the Bible, right? We like to think about heaven, and we like to think about those rewards. But we don't want to hear about the bad parts. But let me just share with you a couple of other Bible verses that support what Jesus says here. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Doesn't say you might be persecuted. It says you will be persecuted. 1 Peter 4:12 through 14, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." Summarizing that, don't be surprised if you're persecuted. That's not the strange thing. God will bless you when you suffer for his sake. 1 John 3:13, "Do not be surprised, brother, that the world hates you." Acts 14:22, "Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God." And I know what you're thinking right now. These are really happy thoughts for a Sunday morning. But this isn't about being happy or sad. This is about being real. Kids, another question for you. Why do you think people who don't believe in Jesus hate, or at least are mean to, people who do believe in Jesus? Why do you think so? There's a lot of reasons, right? And by the way, I'm not talking, when I say this, I'm not talking about Christians who are being mean to others or who are acting like jerks, because we know that that happens too, right? Sometimes we're just jerks, and we confuse being persecuted with people actually responding appropriately to how we were behaving. So we're not talking about those moments. We're also not talking about persecution that comes when we say things like, "Well, I have freedom in the gospel, so I'm not going to follow the speed limit, and some reason the officer pulled me over." That's not what we're talking about. But people are going to hate Christians anyways. In our passage today, Jesus gives us the main reason that people are going to hate Christians, and that main reason is this: because they hated Jesus first. They hated Jesus first. And so now it hates us because we're his. In verses 18 and 19, we see that the world hated Jesus first, and now it hates us. And we've seen throughout the book of John the reason why they hate Christians. It's because Jesus exposes sin for being sin. And he convicts people by showing them what righteousness should look like. And quite frankly, a lot of people don't like that, do they? They like their sin. They like the way they are. They don't want to change. They don't want to feel bad about themselves. And they certainly don't want to think that they can't save themselves. And so, instead of being saved from their sin, they try to silence the messenger, right? They shout down the intolerance of Christianity and even kill those who speak of salvation. The world sees God's truth as hatred. And the fact is, truth feels like hatred to those who hate the truth. Truth will feel like hatred to those who hate the truth. Last week we saw the truth that we're Jesus' friends, right? We are Jesus' friends. Kids, does anyone remember what makes us Jesus' friends? What do we need to do if we're Jesus' friends? Does anyone remember that from last week? If you do, try to tell your moms and dads right now. We are Jesus' friends if we do what he commands us. And when we do what Jesus commands us, the world's going to get upset with us in the same way that it got upset with Jesus. It's kind of like this. If I'm Jesus' enemy and you're my friend, Jesus is going to be your enemy too. But now if you switch sides and now you're Jesus' friend, now you're the friend of my enemy. And so now you're my enemy too, right? In verse 20, Jesus says, if they persecute me, which they did, right? If they persecute Jesus, then they will persecute you too. Verse 21 says that they don't know God the Father. If they knew God, they'd love Jesus and also love his followers, but they don't. So if you are a follower of Jesus, the world will hate you. So here's the big question for us today. What if it doesn't? What if the world loves me? John Chrysostom, who died in 407 AD, says, quote, persecution would be evidence of virtue, and that it was the contrary which ought to worry us. You ought not to be troubled because you are now hated, but only if you should be loved by the world, end quote. If we are loved by the world, we should be worried about that. If non-believers think we are the greatest thing since sliced bread, we should be concerned a little bit. James 4:4 says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Kids, when I'm talking about the world here, what do you think I mean? I've been saying the world a lot. I should probably clarify what I mean. What do you think I mean when I say the world? Planet Earth doesn't speak to us, does it? I've never heard it speak. In this case, we're not talking about every single person. I'm talking about people who are not followers of Jesus. So when I say the world, I'm talking about people who aren't followers of Jesus. And I know it can be kind of confusing because there's three different ways that the Bible uses the world. Sometimes the Bible, when it refers to the world, literally means every single person. And sometimes it means people in general. But the case here, and the case in many other places, the world means non-Christians. It means people who are enemies of God. And so we should be concerned if the world, that is, the enemies of God, if they love us. And if we don't face any type of persecution whatsoever. At least indifference, anyway. Because in verse 19, as we already saw, it says that the world will love us if we are of the world. If we are of those who hate God, the world's going to love us. And of course, if we are a non-believer who claims to be a Christian, man, the world loves us a lot. The world loves non-Christians who claim to be Christians. Satan does too. Why? And why? Because it justifies them. It justifies their sin. It makes them feel like they're still okay. For Satan, it means the gospel's going to be whitewashed, and now the end times are going to be that much farther away for him. The world loves alleged Christians who don't have any biblical convictions, who don't live out their faith, who believe what the world believes. And again, many of these people are good people, if you will, these non-believers who fill the churches. But you don't have to love evil to be evil's ally. Just don't abide in Jesus. Just don't love Jesus and obey him. Just don't speak the truth. Satan knows that if enough churches follow the world's belief instead of the Bible, that the true church will be seen as radical. The true church will be seen as a cult. The true church will be seen as overzealous, and the people, and eventually possibly the government, will try to shut it down. We're not there yet as a society. We're definitely not there yet, but in some ways we're moving that direction, aren't we? I want you to just think about this one area, right? As more and more churches accept the world's view of sexuality, the churches that don't accept it are seen as what? They're seen as bigots. Because we're not accepting what the world says, and now all these other Christians are, so why aren't you? If all these other churches are okay, these people who claim Jesus as their Lord, they're okay with it, so why can't you be? Now you're a bigot. True Christians will and always have been persecuted. Now again, does this mean that unless the government is actively trying to kill you and wherever you go people are throwing rotten tomatoes at you, if that's not happening, that you're somehow not a true believer? Of course not. And does this mean we should try to get others to hate us? Should we go out of our way to get people to hate us? No, Satan loves that too. Satan loves it when we undermine ourselves. Though it is slightly worse than when I was a kid, in America today, you likely won't be killed or thrown in jail because of your faith, at least not right now. You can still pretty much get any job you want. You can get an education. You can get married. You can buy Christian materials. You can meet in a government space and have church. Right? And by the way, a lot of places in the world, you can't do that. A lot of places in the world, if you're caught with a Bible, you're going to get thrown in jail. A lot of places in the world, especially if you're a female, and you are a Christian, you will be forced against your will to marry somebody who's a Muslim. We have a lot of privileges, things here today that others don't. I think the persecution that we endure here is relatively easy compared to what the rest of the world endures. But if we're not willing to accept the easy persecution, the harder persecution will come. If we're not willing to accept the easy persecution, the harder persecution will come. I mean, honestly, what's the worst that happens to us right now? I mean, realistically, maybe some family members get upset with us, but they're still going to usually invite us to Thanksgiving. I mean, maybe your professor's going to roll their eyes when you speak up. Maybe you don't get invited to the right parties. Maybe you're going to get trolled a little bit on social media. I mean, I think the worst persecution I've ever faced is, you know, our white van, we used to have those magnets to advertise Rolling Hills Church on the side of it. Someone pulled those off at Walmart and threw them away. Like, that's like the worst that's ever happened to me as far as persecution. That's not too bad. Another time, one of those cling stickers, which we have some in the back, by the way, those cling stickers for Rolling Hills Church, one of those got ripped off. Okay, that's 10 cents gone. All right. Our persecution is relatively easy, but it is still persecution. But if nothing like this ever happens to you, you gotta ask yourself, if Jesus promises Christians trouble, why isn't trouble happening to me? We gotta ask ourselves that honestly. There is good news. There's always good news. And actually, the bulk of the good news is going to come next week. But the good news emphasized in today's passage is that one day, justice will come. We see in verses 22 and 24 that those who persecute Christians, they will be found guilty of sin. By Jesus' words and actions, they should have known that Jesus is God. But because they reject Jesus, they hate God the Father, as verse 23 says. And they hate him without any good reason, according to verse 25, which of course is the fulfillment of prophecy coming from the book of Psalms. Those who hate Jesus, and by extension Jesus' followers, us, have no excuse for their sins. If they would have followed Jesus and accepted the free gift of salvation, they would not have been found guilty of their sin, because Jesus would have already paid the price for it. But since they reject the only form of salvation that exists, and they reject it in spite of all the evidence, they will be found guilty. Kids, let me ask you this. If someone living in Jesus' day saw his miracles, do they have any excuse for not believing in him, do you think? No, of course not. And if you were to share the gospel with someone and you tell them that Jesus can take away your sins and you get to go to heaven and they say, no thanks. If they say that, do they have any excuse for not believing in Jesus? Of course not. And if we obey Jesus, and if we follow what the Bible says to the best of our ability, does anyone have any good reason for not liking us? Not a good reason. But they're not going to like us. However, the good news today is that one day there will be justice. And there is a second bit of good news. It's a little more subtle. And that good news is that mysterious connection that we all have with God when we suffer. When we are suffering for Jesus' name, we have this mysterious connection with Jesus and God the Father. If someone's hating you, they're actually hating Jesus. Someone not listening to you is not listening to God the Father. When someone tries to hurt you because of your faith, know that you are connected to Jesus Christ. You know, Christian martyrs throughout the ages have rejoiced in their sufferings because of this union with God. Let me read just a couple of quotes from a few different martyrs. Most of these were from people on their way to be martyred. Oh, what a joyful feast will be prepared before us before the clock strikes 12. John Kleiss. You can take from me no more than my life, but by taking my life, you give me eternity. Offris Grazinger. Let us fight valiantly, for this is our last pain. Hereafter we will rejoice with God in endless joy. Joris. Christ has gone this way before us, and his beloved apostles likewise, and we, his servants, are not above our Lord. Adrian Cornelis. This is the true way to eternal life, which is found by so few and walked by a still smaller number, for it is too narrow for them, and it would cause their flesh too much pain. Jan Jansbrandt. And one last quote by a woman named Catherine, they don't know her last name. She was being led to be burned at the stake in 1551. She shouted this out. What would you do for your faith? Not much, I think. Hence repent before you are brought to shame. Our lives are not practice. This life isn't a mulligan. We don't get to do them again and again and hope we get it right eventually. If we're not willing to do much for our faith, we should be ashamed and must repent. And again, I do want to emphasize the persecution Jesus is talking about in today's passage is that which comes when we are hated without cause and when we keep Jesus' words and account and suffer on account of his name. We Americans have so little to lose, but we are so petrified to lose it, aren't we? We have so little to lose, but we are scared to death of losing it. And the saints of old, they were no different than you and I. They wanted comfort too. They'd rather be drinking hot chocolate by their fire than sitting in a fire as they're attached to a stake. But they sought the greater reward. Those being tortured and killed in other countries around the world today, I'm sure they'd rather not, if given the choice. And so we must take advantage of the opportunities we have here right now to share the gospel and to live out the faith because it's easy. I do want to close by reading you a letter, and it was written by a young mother in the year 1573 to her daughter. Her daughter was only a few days old. Her husband had already been executed for the faith, and she was kept alive only long enough to give birth to this baby. My dearest child, the true love of God strengthen you in virtue, you who are yet so young, and whom I must leave in this wicked, evil, perverse world. Oh, that it had pleased the Lord that I might have been able to bring you up. but it seems that it is not the Lord's will. Be not ashamed of us. It is the way which the prophets and the apostles went. Your dear father demonstrated with his blood that it is the genuine faith. And I also hope to attest the same with my blood. Though flesh and blood must remain on the posts and on the stake, I know well that we shall meet hereafter. Your loving mother. Church, we are called to love one another with an extreme love, because the world will hate us just like the world hated Jesus. Maybe here in Platteville, Wisconsin, it's not as bad as modern-day North Korea. And of course, much of that is God's mercy. I'm sure some of it, though, is our lack of obedience. But we need each other. We need each other. And the more on mission for God that we are, the more we will need each other. And the more we will need him. As we think about a mother who was not going to be able to raise her daughter, we need to take courage from those examples and be willing to do things like go across the street and invite someone to church, to have a bumper sticker on our car, to speak up in a class, to live the faith and share the love of Jesus Christ with the world that is going to hate us. Let's pray. Holy Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy for us to obey. You are worthy for us to absorb the insults of the world, and maybe even worse. You are worthy of us to share the good news of salvation. We are your ambassadors. Lord, we do thank you that justice will be done one day, and we do thank you for the unique connection and joy that believers who suffer for your name's sake experience. Forgive us for being cowards. Forgive us for not pursuing what you have commanded us to pursue, for committing grace abuse and not living out your commands. Lord, I do want to lift up believers around the world who are suffering for their faith right now. May they experience your presence. May they experience your joy. I even think of Mike Wilde, who was thrown in prison for more than a month based on his faith. Lord, give us the courage and the boldness to be witnesses for you. May the world see us as a shining example of who you are, and if they decide to hate us, so be it. We thank you, Lord, for your great love. Help us to love one another more deeply and to be connected to you more powerfully. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Well, we have our memory verse. This is the last month of it, so we'll kind of look at it. And I couldn't remember some of the actions last week, but remember, it's my peace, because it's like the hippies, the peace thing. My peace, right? My peace I leave with you, like we're waving goodbye. My peace I give to you, because I'm going to give it to you, not as the world gives. This is like the world. So in this case, the world is just talking about the world in general, not about the people who hate Jesus. Do I give to you? Okay, so I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Afraid was the one I couldn't remember last week. Afraid. Ah. Okay. Go ahead, Jesse.
John 14:27. Peace I live with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. John 14:27.
And since it is the last Sunday of the month, we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And again, just in case you haven't been with us, the elements, they're on the back table in a little box. If you didn't grab one, you can go grab one right now. But there's a little film that you got to peel off on the top to get to the wafer, and then you peel off the bigger film to get to the juice. And if you do that, I highly recommend tilting the juice backwards so you don't make it explode all over you. So give people a few seconds to go grab that. I'm going to loosen my wafer right now as I'm waiting. For the Lord's Supper passage today, I'm going to read from the institution in Luke 22, and it's verses 14 through 20. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Take now the bread in remembrance of this. Continuing in the passage. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Jesus' blood provides us the new covenant of grace. We're saved without earning it or deserving it. May we not be ashamed to live out our faith, even in persecution. Take now the cup in gratitude for what was freely given, though it came with a great cost. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we are so unworthy. We are so unworthy to have you come to this world, to even just leave the thrones of heaven to be here, to be one of us. But you went farther than that. You were tortured, and you were killed, and you were rejected by the world. And you did that to pay the penalty for every bad thing we've ever done. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, too, that you rose again on the third day, and that you are at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding on our behalf, so that we can live out the faith. Lord, may your Holy Spirit work powerfully in us as we remember what you've done and remember who we are. Lord, may the remembrance of the Lord's Supper not be something that we just do for 5 minutes once a month, but something that pervades our lives and changes us. We thank you, Lord, for this great symbol that helps us to know what you've done and reminds us of your great truths. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
I'm the music leader here at Rolling Hills. At this point, anybody who does not feel comfortable staying for the music and the singing and all that stuff, feel free, go in peace. There is some studies that have shown that coronavirus is transmitted more by singing because you're, you know, projecting out whatever. If you would like to head out now, please go out to the by the back left-hand door there behind you to your left. For those of you who'd like to continue and stay, stand with me. Let's worship the Lord together.
Coming on the clouds, yeah. none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your
to the promise we have in you, Lord. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. In you were all things made. Nothing that was made without you. You are the chief end of man. To glorify you and to worship you forever. And Father, we do that, just that this morning. We glorify you and we worship you this morning, knowing that our worship here is just a poor reflection of what our worship for you will be like when we are in your presence one day. We worship you, Father, and we praise you. And we have the ability to do all these things because of the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and coming again. It is through him that we've been adopted into your family, that we can call ourselves joint heirs with him. We praise you, Father, and we worship you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come near. Earth has no your sorrow, heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow, heaven can't heal. So lay down your burden.
One day every knee will bow down before the Lion and the Lamb. And when we're bowed down before him, he's going to tell some of us to get up and join him at the table. It's going to be an incredible, incredible moment. And I don't think any of our lame excuses are going to work in that moment. I don't think any of the world's lame excuses are going to work in that moment. But we know that the sorrows of this earth are going to be handled. They're going to be taken care of for us in heaven for all eternity. And we praise God for that. There's one more song, and you're welcome to mingle a little bit. Otherwise, again, just per City Hall rules, we're supposed to exit through the 4th Street door. Go in peace. Have an amazing week. God bless you all.
Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are
Can't make your whammy bar do noises. What point is there in having one?